every Sunday, and how many months we got to do that and be with all of you and be the interim pastor and help you find Roy and his family for sure. And that was a great journey. And we came to the conclusion that it was 10 years ago that we were doing that. And that was back when I was a chaplain at Teen Challenge, and Melody is now a Teen Challenge chaplain. And so again, when we drive through here or get to come here, it's like coming home and being with all of you. It is a great joy for sure. Hey, you did mention 30 for Freedom, and I did walk 21 miles. And the reason that happened was I got kind of cornered into it, or hornswoggled, for those of you that may like that word. I had decided, I prayed about it and thought about it and thought about the businesses I was going to go to raise the money and those kind of things. I thought about, okay, so I landed on the 10K. I'm gonna do the 10K. About 2 days later from that decision, it's Sunday morning, And a young couple that I hadn't seen in a long time, and I don't usually do this. I'm on one side of the gathering area. They're on clear on the other side of the gathering area, and I can see them moving toward the door. So I say, hey, and they stop and they wait on me, and we start talking and conversing, and not hello, not hi, not glad to see you. The kid said, or the young man says, he's probably 30. The young man says, hey, what are you going to do for 30 for Freedom? And if I hadn't been praying about it, I'd have gone. But ding, ding, ding. I knew to pay attention to what this young man had to say. He said, I think I'm going to land on the 10K. I'm going to run, walk that. And he said, well, what would it take for you to do the whole 30 miles? And I said, nothing, because I'm not going to do it. And he said, no. What would it take for you to do the whole 30 miles? And I said, well, it would take a big number, I can tell you that. And he said, what's a big number? I said, $1,000. He said, I'll give you $2,500 right now. And I turned to his wife, and I said, is that all right with you? And she said, yeah, that's great with me. And it turns out that kid had been praying about how to get me to go 30 miles for 2 years. Because what was on his heart was, we're all called to do something that we have no physical ability to do, sometimes no desire to do. It's way beyond us, way beyond anything that we'd even try to do. And we're the senior adults pastors in Rochester. It's just like reverse youth group. It really is. It's just like reverse youth group, except now, when I want to go home, I just go home. I don't have to wait for a parent. I don't have to do anything like that. When I see a couple going off in the woods together, I say, more power to you, instead of get away from her, none of that. Anyway, it's just like that. And he said, I think your older people need to hear that message too, is that sometimes they think, I'm too old, I won't try, God wouldn't be calling me to do that. So I had him come to our group, and he spoke that, and we had, I don't know, 30-some older people involved, walking. We had a 95-year-old woman serving hot dogs all day, just to be able to do something. So anyway, I say, okay. I say, I'll think about it, I'll call you. And 2 days later, we're at a prayer meeting, and this lady comes up to me and says, you're going to think about doing 30 miles? And I said, yeah. He gave you $2,500? I said, yeah. She said, I'll match that. So now I'm really stuck. I can't. Anyway, so I started training and those kind of things. And I made it 21. I couldn't have made it another mile, I don't think. The last 3 miles, I was bent over like this. A nurse saw me come into the station, and she said, I'm a nurse. Looks like you need one. I'll be walking with you the rest of the way. and when they made the announcement at church that I was going to go 30 miles, there was this young girl next to one of our senior adults sitting there in the service, And he told her what 30 for freedom was, and they said, Pastor Tyler's going to try to go 30 miles. And she said, who's Pastor Tyler? And the guy pointed, see that older gentleman up there in the second row? Yeah, you mean the gray-haired one? Yeah, you mean the heavy set? Yeah. He looks like a 5K instead of a 30K to me. Anyway, and so that's how it started. And I think if we try, God can use that try, can't
he? Yeah.
If we step out and we try, it may be beyond you. It may be beyond something that you think you can do or even want to do. I didn't want to do it at all. But as I started training, I kind of liked it. Anyway, if we try. And not only can we try, but our try is empowered. And I'd like to talk to you about that. Tonight, we have the promises of God, and we have the power of God, and also, in the middle of that, we have the perplexity of life, and we have the pain of life. So I want to talk to you about the promises of God, the power of God, the pain of life, and the perplexity of life today. And where I'd like to start is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And the first parts of that say, His divine power has given you everything you need for a life of godliness. And you escape the corruption of the world, not by the commands of God, but by the promise of God. And then would somebody take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And when you get there, can you read it just real loud? So you're going to need your Bible today. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. So we have His divine power. So you have His power, right? His divine power has given you everything. Now, would somebody read 2 Corinthians 1, 20? Okay, go ahead.
It says, for in Him all the promises of God are yes. Therefore, also through Him is the amen by us to the glory of God.
All right, so all through Him. Who's Him in that verse?
Jesus.
Through Jesus. Through Jesus, you know that God's promises are yes and amen to you. You're not twisting His arm. You're not saying a whole bunch of Hail Marys or whatever it might be. You're not jumping through a lot of hoops. You're just believing the promises of God because of Jesus. And no matter what happens, His divine power has given you everything you need for a life of godliness. Now that's a promise, right?
Yes.
And we've all known people that have made promises that really don't have the power to back it up. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you experienced that. Is they've made a promise to you, and you count on that promise. You think they're going to deliver, but they don't have the power to back that up. When God makes a promise, you know that He has the power to back it up. And the evidence of that promise, Him being able to back that up, is Jesus. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him give you all things?
There you go.
You know that God is good and all the time because, and the evidence of that goodness is Jesus.
Yes.
He is God's answer to everything. We used to sing an old song, remember? Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. I forgot my albums, but you can go online. Tyler Grant sings the classics. No. I just trying to be amusing. Didn't work. But anyway, the idea is Jesus is the answer. So let me ask you, what are some of the promises of God that He has given you? What are some of the promises of God that He has given you from the Word? How about this one? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Now, if you deal with anxiety like I do in the natural, naturally I have some anxiety. Do you think I've hung on to that promise most of my adult life? Yes, I have. And I believe that promise has driven me closer to God through Christ and by the power of the Spirit, because I've had to deal with anxiety.
Yes.
That's a promise that I hang on to. Another promise. How about this one? Don't be anxious for anything.
Yeah.
Don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
How about this one, that you know that God is always working in your life to bring about Christ's likeness in your life. You know, he tells you in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because you know what? Because you know that God is always working.
Yes.
Oh, I'm starting to get that voice. I want you to know.
Come on.
That you know that he is always working. So, he has given you promises, and he promises power.
Mm.
Power to actually do this. And if somebody look up Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, we'll do verse 18 and 19. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. All right.
I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms.
So we have the promises of God, which we just discussed, and there's so much more. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, all of those, there's so many more promises. And then we have the power of God over here. He prays for the Ephesians. Hey, listen. I want you to know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives where? In you. How about that? And you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's where you begin. You begin from a place of already having, and then as you walk it out, you begin to experience what he's already given you. His divine power has given you everything. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now lives in you. Here's another one. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
How about that? You are where heaven and earth meet.
Mm.
It used to be in the temple in Jerusalem. It used to be in the temple, the tabernacle. But now you are where heaven and earth meet. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have the mind of Christ. His victory is your victory.
Mm.
What happened to him happened to you. What happened to you happened to him. Here's my example. This is my wallet. It has a $20 bill in it. Let's say that I wanted to mail my wallet to, or give my wallet to Melody, which in for all practical purposes,
it's already mine.
I do, right? Anyway, what's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers. All right, so anyway, for all practical purposes, I do. Now, there's a $20 bill here. It's in my wallet. If I'm handing her my wallet, what happens to the $20 bill?
Gonzo.
Is it separate? Yeah, gonzo. No. She's the reason we have money. She likes keeping track of it. I know. I don't care. Anyway, what happens? Because it's in my wallet, the thing that happened to my wallet happens to the $20 bill, right? It's separate, but what happens to it is the same. The same thing can be said of you. The power of the Spirit of God is in you. Your mind is renewed. It is being transformed. And you can claim those promises. Is this making sense?
It's good.
I really hope so, because this is where I've been living for the last few months in my own life. I make the exchange, his for mine, mine for his, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Christ is my righteousness. That Christ is my righteousness. It's not that I have to work up my own righteousness. I just make the exchange, His for mine, mine for His. And then as I practice that, as I live with that, as I walk with that, then His righteousness does become mine in my experience. It's not just in my head. It's not just in my heart. It's in my experience that I can do that. Again, His life is mine. My life is His. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. There's a lot of I's in that verse. So when you give your life to Christ and He comes in you and you're in Him, it doesn't mean that your personality is annihilated. It means that you become more alive because you have less pressure. You're not trying to base yourself or your personality or your identity based on the things of the world, the patterns of the world, where you get your identity from your performance plus the opinion of others plus the opinion of yourself equals how you get to feel about yourself. The Spirit of God says to you, the Word of God says to you, no, you don't have to do that anymore. Your identity comes from God's truth plus abiding in Christ equals how I get to feel about myself. And my performance comes out of that. So we have the promises. We have the power. There's all kinds of power verses in the Bible, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Acts 1:8 is a famous Pentecostal one. I like that verse for sure. He will give you power to become His witnesses.
Yes.
Here's another promise. In my weakness, He will be made strong, and His grace will be sufficient for me. So, again, promises, power, now, perplexity. There's just some things about life. There are just some things about life that are hard. There are some things about life that are hard inwardly, either real or perceived. They're hard. The things that we have to deal with, a phone call, a doctor appointment, a brother or a sister, a daughter or a son, a grandchild, whatever it might be. There are perplexities in this life. This life is complicated. I mean, you throw in prayer, you throw in the Spirit, you throw in the demons, you throw in all of it. This life is perplexed. Even Paul, the one that wrote most of those promises that we just talked about, in 2 Corinthians chapter, I wrote them down, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He was experiencing a kind of a downer of a day. Have you ever been there? You ever experienced kind of a downer? Oh, gosh. Yes, I have. Melody used to tell me, you experience a downer almost every Monday. After Sunday. After Sunday's preaching, she'd say to me, huh? And I had to get a hold of that. I really had to get a hold of that. But even Paul, he experiences a downer. Let me just say some of the quotes that he has said. That we have treasure in earthen vessels. He will also say in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that the Spirit will give life to your mortal body. So which one is it? He's feeling the pressure of his earthen body. We know that he's had some sort of thorn in his side that he asked God 3 times to remove, and God didn't do it. I've asked God to remove my anxiety for years, and He doesn't seem overly interested. He doesn't seem overly interested. Well, what has that done for me? It made me recognize that His grace is sufficient, and my weakness will be an opportunity for His grace to be seen.
Amen. There you go.
For His grace to be seen. But he says, we got this treasure in earthen vessels. In Romans chapter 8, he said, now the Spirit of God will give life to your mortal body. Well, which one is it? It's not either or, it's and. It's and. And then he says, we are pressed on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We're struck down in verse 9 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Verse 10, always carrying in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we who live are always being delivered to death for Jesus' sake. So then death is working in us. Probably won't find those promises in your bread box promise book, will you? But on the other hand, on the other half of those verses, he says that the excellence of the power of Christ may be of God and not of us. He says we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellence will be in God and not in us. We are perplexed on every side. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're not forsaken. We're not destroyed. That the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That you can. Yes, life is hard and life is brutal. You've all experienced some brutalness, haven't you? You've all experienced some brutalness in your life through living. You certainly have. But life is also beautiful, and the Spirit of God is with you. The temple of the Holy Spirit. You're that. So how do you deal with the perplexities of life? When you're having a downer. When you're having a downer emotionally, when you're having a downer physically. Our house flooded not too long ago. The little tube on the back of the toilet got a crack in it. And it was the middle of the night. I woke up, actually, because I'm old, and I wake up a lot. And I certainly do. My shoulder hurts. Anyway, I wake up, but it was raining outside, so I thought, man, it's really raining hard. I rolled back over and went to sleep. Woke up another 2 hours because I had to go to the restroom. That's not rain outside. Walked in, I got out of bed, the floor was wet. Oh, the water was spraying everywhere over the bathroom. My first thought wasn't praise the Lord. my first thought wasn't I'm a victor in Christ. None of that. I'm thinking, oh no, this is, look, I knew the insurance company would give me a hard time, and they did. And it took a long time to get done what we needed done, and they didn't pay me what I thought it was worth. Now, is that a perplexity of life? Yeah, it's a small thing, and it turned out good. But it's a small thing, but it still bothered me. It's still, I had to submit that to the Lord. I had to give that perplexity of life, I had to give that pain of life to Him, and so that I wouldn't ruminate on it. I wouldn't do that. He knows for us to live the kind of divine life that He's asking us to live. He knows that we don't have the ability in and of ourselves.
That's right.
That's the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. He knows that we can't produce that on our own, but because Jesus is in us and He is full of that, He is full of the Spirit, we can take from Him and be peaceful, and we're not faking it till we make it. What a dumb statement that is. We don't have to fake nothing because we have Jesus and He's real and He has all that it takes, and we can receive from Him, and the Spirit of God makes that very, very real to us. You don't have the power to do this kind of life, to live this kind of life, to be free the way that He would want you to be. You don't. But Jesus is in you. Here's my example. I have two examples, actually. One, I have a friend. You may know him. Their family moved to Delano years and years ago, his mom and dad. And then he moved to Delano, and we were pastoring in Delano. His mother and father started coming to the church, so did he. And I got to know him. So his name is Brock Lesner, and he started coming to the church. And I would see him around town, and the Lord would say to me, no, just leave him alone. Those people were all over him. I mean, girls would ask him to take his shirt off. Funny, that's never happened to me.
Praise the Lord.
They'd ask him to take his shirt off, all those kind of things. One day I'm driving past his road, and I sensed the Lord say to me, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. And so, for whatever reason, I didn't hesitate. Usually I put up a bit of a fuss, but this time I didn't. turned around, went down his road, found his driveway, went up it, knocked on the door, and he's not even there. The guy that he had working for him was. I told him who I was, tell him that I stopped by. Okay, and I get in the car, and I'm mad. I say to the Lord, nobody likes to be messed with, even if it's by you. You must have known he wasn't coming, or wasn't going to be there. You tell me to go, I waste my time, blah, blah, blah. And I sense the Lord say, are you through? I said, yes, sir. And the next day, my son is out in the driveway. My two sons and my wife are getting ready to go out of town. I'm not going. My son's in my driveway playing basketball. And he says, hey, and he comes in. Hey, Dad, Brock Lesnar's in the driveway waiting to see you. I said, oh. So I walked out. And he said, my worker said that you came by. What'd you want? I said, this was right during the time he quit the WWE the first time. I said, I thought you might need a friend who doesn't want anything from you. He said, what are you doing at 3 o'clock? I said, well, sounds like I'm coming to your house. So we had dinner together, and he let me work out at his state-of-the-art facility from then on his property. I got to work out. When he was training for the UFC, I got to, for the first time with Herring, I got to go and watch him train. And sometimes I said to him, let me get in there and why don't you try to train me? Now, he's a great athlete, a great coach. He's motivated. He's sharp that way. He has the good people around him, all of that kind of thing. But he's trying to train me. What's he hindered by? Now, just to let you know, my mother used to tell me, boy, you'd go a mile out of your way just to stumble in a hole. And that's partially true, is I am that way. I'm a bit clumsy. So I'm not athletic. So he's a great coach. He's a great athlete himself. He's trying to coach me. He's trying to teach me some moves. What's he hindered by? Well, he's hindered by me. Now, let's say that somehow Brock Lesnar's abilities could somehow be transferred to me. Now, it's still me. Is his chance of coaching me and training me better than it was if I was just trying to do it myself? If his abilities could somehow be transferred to me, my opportunity or my ability to be trained would be very enhanced, right? Mm-hmm. This is the I know the illustration breaks down. I know it, but the illustration I'm using is you have been given every resource, every divine power you need for a life of godliness is in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Even handling the perplexities of life, He has overcome the world. Don't lose heart. He has overcome the world, yes. And that is the truth.
Yeah.
You have been given the ability to be godly, even to handle and overcome the perplexities of life, even when you feel really weak, even when you feel pressed down, even when you feel shaken on every side.
Yes.
The Lord is with you, and you are a mighty warrior.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what you are.
Yes.
Even in the perplexities of life, and we can't allow the perplexities and the pain of life. We've all had pain. I've gotten my feet run over by a semi when I was unemployed. I was working as a scab worker on the railroad, and I got my feet run over by a semi. How do you think I felt about God and myself? I couldn't make it as an evangelist. I tried to be an evangelist. No one would book me. No one. I got one youth retreat. One. I tried to sell houses. I didn't sell one house. Not one. I got my insurance license and didn't sell one policy. Not one. We had to move in with my mother-in-law, which I don't have any mother-in-law stories. She's awesome. She's excellent. And I bless her, I do. But how do you think I felt about God and myself? Not very good. The promise of God is, though, the promises of God is that I am his child. I am his son. And he does have a plan. And he does have a purpose.
Yes.
In the midst of all that pain and all that perplexity and all that disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed?
Mm-hmm.
Even with God?
Mm-hmm.
I know that's dangerous. But I have. And he seems to be able to handle it. He seems to be able to handle it. He likes honesty.
Mm. Yes.
He likes honesty.
Yes.
Melody has had, as you know, all kinds of surgeries. 2 years ago, she had 7 in a month. They got her wide open because they can't let it get infected. We're in the room. Somebody in our group, somebody came to see her, and the lady says to her, how are you in Jesus right now? And she said, well, right now we're not on speaking terms. And I thought, oh, that's the greatest answer ever.
Yes.
Because when they are on speaking terms, and I knew they would be, and I knew that she also meant that she didn't have to speak to them because she didn't have the energy, and she knew that we all were. She knew that we all were. And I knew that was the truth. And I thought, oh, that's the greatest answer ever because it's honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And God can deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, 2 days later, she's witnessing to everything that moves. All the little girls that are taking care of her want to take her down to her next surgery. All of those kind of things. And one of the little girls says to her, are all the people like you at your church like you? And she said, no, they're even better. God can take the perplexities and the pain of life.
Yes.
And turn them for his glory and your good. Where do I get that? What promise is that? It's a famous one. You don't want to do it too early. You don't want to say the promise too early when people are in pain. What is it? God works together. All things for the good of those who love him.
Yes.
And are called according to his purpose. You know that that's the truth. And maybe, just maybe, you'll see it this side of heaven. But I know you'll see it on the other side.
Yes.
So, we have the promises of God. We have the power of God. And we have the perplexities of life. The pain of life. If you will submit that to the Lord, my premise is that he will use that for his glory and your good.
Yes.
And he will help you understand that the Spirit of God is in you, working in you, not so that you can just have more head knowledge, but that you can experience what God has for you. And it can happen in your normal day.
Yes.
As you're being a husband or a wife, as you're being a student, as you're just living your life, God can use you. I have one more story, and then let's close with a verse too. Now, don't get too excited that I said close. Just so you know. So the other day, I'm driving the Quick Trip. I think I was going to get a donut, which
what am I telling, buddy?
I knew that I really didn't need, but I wanted it. So I'm going to Quick Trip. Need to get some gas and get a donut. So, as I'm driving there, I see this obvious homeless man. And my first thought was, get it together. What's wrong with you?
Hmm.
And immediately, I felt the Lord. I knew I was getting taken to the woodshed. I felt him say, don't do that to him. That's my child.
Hmm.
Don't do that to him, don't do that to me, and don't do that to yourself. Because when you judge like that, you're judging the law. You're not doing the law of love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. When you're judging the law, you're not doing the law. And I was judging him and judging the law, so I'm not doing it. So I pull in the parking lot, and he's still all over me, convicting me. And I repented, oh God, I'm sorry. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be hard like that toward people. It doesn't mean that you don't correct people. It doesn't mean that you don't help him. It doesn't mean that you don't deal with the issues that are causing his homeliness. Homelessness, not loneliness. it doesn't mean that you don't do any of that. It just means that you don't have to judge.
Yeah.
Because that's not of the spirit, that's of the world, isn't it?
Yes.
So I get my donor, and I'm waiting in line, and I had a shirt on that my son used to run his own beard oil business. It was called Righteous Mane. And the tagline was, "Don't tame the mane." And on the back, it had a picture of a lion. And then in Proverbs, it said, the righteous are bold as lions. Mm. So I'm standing in line, and all of a sudden, I hear a voice behind me, and he says, "Man, I wish I had some boldness right now." And I know he's talking about my shirt, so I turn around, and guess who it is? The very guy I judged.
Mm.
And so I say to him, "Why do you need some boldness right now?" He said, "Oh, I got so many decisions to make, and I'm afraid to make them."
Mm.
Do you think my heart changed toward him?
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh, do you want to get out of line and go over here in the corner and pray about it?" He said, "Yeah, I think I do." So we went over by the ATM machine over there in the corner, and we prayed, "God, give him blah, 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 blah." And they turned around like he got a new lease on life and bolted. I didn't even get his name. And I turn around, and there's this older woman at the ATM. And she says, "Oh, would you pray for me?"
Thank you, Jesus.
I said, "Yes, ma'am." "Yes, ma'am, what do you want to pray about?" She said, "You want to know why I'm standing at this ATM machine getting money?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I'm about to go to the marijuana dispensary because I'm hooked on gummies, and I don't want to be." I said, "Ma'am, we can pray about that." And we did. And she said, "You know that God brought you here for me, right?" I said, "No, ma'am, I was just getting a donut." "No, no! No! You know that God brought you here for me, right?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she bolted too. I didn't even get her name. She just left. Now, had I repented? I was acting a fool 5 minutes before.
Mm-hmm.
I was acting like the world 5 minutes before. When God convicts you, repent.
Yes.
And then don't disqualify yourself.
Mm.
I knew that the righteousness of God in Christ was in me. I knew that the Spirit of God was in me. I knew in that moment that He wanted to use me. I wasn't prepared, didn't want to be used. I just wanted my donut that I knew I shouldn't have even had. I mean, I don't have a thyroid problem. I got a calorie problem. It takes a lot of calories to have this kind of body. The idea, do you see? But if I would have disqualified myself, those people wouldn't have gotten ministered to.
That's right.
At least by me, or in that moment. You don't have to disqualify yourself because of the pain and the perplexities of life. You don't have to. And any movement that tells you do, you should examine.
Yeah.
Am I making sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Okay, we've talked about the promises of God. You need to hang on to them, because by them you escape the corruption of the world. You need to hang on to them. You need to talk to them. Talk about them in your head, out your mouth, in the mirror. Talk to them. Talk about them to other people. And it's not like you're just claiming the promises without relationship to Jesus. That would be like saying the heat of the sun is not connected to the sun itself. When you have the promises, you have to have the person.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the promises, you have to be connected to the person.
Yes.
Again, you could say, "Oh, I just want the sun's rays." It doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work for us either. The promises of God are meant to drive you to Jesus.
Yeah. That's good.
And without that, you're missing it. Without that, you're missing it. The power of God is available to you. And He wouldn't make the promise, and He wouldn't make the command if He wasn't going to help you do it. And here's my last example. I do like to go to the gym. And I know, I also like to lift the fork. I know there's a Dairy Queen down here somewhere, so after service, we'll probably head that way. But I like to go to the gym. I've been until last year I finally gave up on it, but I was trying to bench 300 pounds. Hurt my shoulder, so I gave up on it. Now I have an 11-year-old grandson, and if I said to him, let's go to the gym, and I put 300 pounds on the bench, and I said, get under there, try to lift it. And when he couldn't, I said, oh, come on! You're a Grant! You're a Grant! You're supposed to be able to lift that! He's 11! What would you say about me? I'm abusive. Some of you treat God that way. You're asking me to do stuff that you have no, you know that I have no ability, and you feel like you're a Christian. Get under that bench and lift that. What's wrong with you? When you know that you have no ability to do it yourself, and he knows you have no ability to do it yourself, what would happen if I got back behind there, and he's on the bench, he tries his hardest, and I help him lift it? We could probably do it, couldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Same way you should approach your Christian life. So Aurora, can you come and just play something at the keyboard? And I'm just going to ask you to stand. And maybe tonight you're overly hindered by the perplexities of life.
Mm.
We all are. Don't lose heart. We've all had things, even in the last week, that we wish we didn't have to deal with. Being in the ministry I'm in, people are very lively, but they're also